Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show here on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Boyd's One Stop, Bayou City Angler, and the Belleville Meat Market. All right, Galveston right now, 72 down on the island this morning. Looks like sunshine and clouds mixed today with a high of 78. They're predicting winds anywhere from 10 to 20. Out of the south-southwest, and then for tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 71, south winds 5 to 10, and then for tomorrow, cloudy. It'll be cloudy early with partial sunshine expected later in the day with near-record high temperatures. Again, high of 78, south-southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. There's four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. That was at 1:03 a.m. It was a 1.3. And then a low coming up at 8:11 a.m., an 0.4. And then a high at 3:15 p.m., a 1.4. And then a low tonight at 8:53 p.m., a 1.1. They're getting a little stronger each exchange as we go into this four-tide schedule. 6:44 a.m. is sunrise, 5:24 p.m. sunset, moon phase 17%. And looking at current conditions right now, Galveston Channel down there, it's showing water temp of 73 degrees, south-southwest wind 5 to 9. And in Eagle Point, we're showing 70.7 degree water. We'll call that 71. South-southwest at 10 to 13. And Morgan's Point, it's 70 degree water with a south wind at 2. So that's pretty much it. Wraps up the weather on this Sunday morning. Looks like another good day ahead of us again. All right, well, let's run down Port O'Connor way now and check in with Captain Kim Golden this morning to see how she's doing and what's going on with the fish bite down there. Good morning, Kim. How you doing?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm outstanding. How are you today?
Couldn't be better. Thanks for asking.
Man, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. I always look forward to this.
I do, too. How about that?
So
especially
from
Sundays, that's my Friday.
it's the best. It's the best. I know last time we talked, we were waiting on a pretty punchy front to come through, and it sure enough did. We weren't mad enough at him that day to fight the win for him. We let him.
No, that was pretty gnarly, man.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
It definitely was. But after that, this weather's been fantastic.
It has.
I've had waders with no waders on this last week.
I noticed everybody down your way and even south of you, they pulled their waders off this week, started wading wet. It got so hot, man.
It did, and we've had such a nice, it did warm up, but our water up shallow is staying in that nice temperature longer. So coupled with the warm up and we're able to stand shallower longer to shoot there, if anybody wore them, they were probably taking them off by mid-morning.
Yeah. I understand that.
Our fishing, our bite after the front, on the warm up has been great. It's just a nice fall bite. The warm weather is maybe a little unusual this warm this late in the year, but I'll take it. I love the warm weather. I'm not a fan of the cold. So
no, I'm not either. I like this kind of November weather. Seen it before, and makes for a good bite, and everybody's comfortable, and man, it's calm every day. It's been nice,
yes.
Man.
It's just really a nice time to be on the water. Granted, every year, this time of year isn't always this way, but it sure is now. If anybody can take advantage of it, it's worth getting out on. We've had nice water movement during the main portion of our wades. Had a nice amount of wind. Just everything set up so perfect. We're able to stay over hard sand. I still am having trouble keeping everybody out, you know, and what I might call a more normal trout wade, because the reds are still calling for us to come up there and catch them, but they've been so much fun. A nice treat have been some better trout hanging up there with them. And we're starting to, since we've been staying shallower longer and having fun sight casting these reds every now and then, not a huge one, but a nice one in that 3 to 4 pound range will take us up on an offer. So we're starting to see more of that, and I sure do love it. You sure do love it. Our trout bites are good, but they're not long this week. So we could get them early, and it was good. The bite was good and real intentional. And then we would have a lull mid-morning where not even really a scattered one, you know, just kind of a lull. And then midday to right after lunch, it seems like they would ramp up again for us a little bit. And then that was just the trend this week. Of course, I'm not sure what we'll find this week, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every week's different.
Every week's different. It's a puzzle every day.
Well, that's good to hear.
It is efficient. And the as you would expect, every year when they close the flounder season, our flounder fishing has been outstanding.
Well, of course.
Man, the other day, it just never ceases to amaze me. I had a man wading shallow sight casting some reds, and he's catching a flounder about every fifth or sixth cast. I'm like, of course, naturally, you know. And then you have to say, well, we can't keep them.
And a lot of people don't realize it's closed. You know, they'll come down and go fishing with everybody and go, I can't believe I got to throw a 4 pound flounder back.
Just heartbreaking. While we did not have any that big, that would have really been heartbreaking. We did have lots of slots, and just always figure when I can get them in a lane on a rod and reel, there were a lot more there that probably didn't play. So that's been fun. We had our last wade, we caught reds, trout, flounder, and black drum, every one of them on a Marilure Little John XL. They were either watermelon red or golden bream. We were able to sell it all day long. So our topwater bite has fallen off a little.
Yeah.
However, we've not offered them as often as we were, so I can't speak to whether or not it was Ben. If it was working, we didn't feel inclined to change it. So that's kind of my report with that. They might have covered them up. I don't know. We just didn't throw them as much.
Well, I've been seeing that all up and down the coast right now, even up here, like golden brim, pumpkin seed, anything that type of color. Has been drawing a lot of bites.
Drawing a lot. It's just a great color. We still, just 2 days ago, I hooked a pin perch in the mouth, right square in the mouth with a lure. I mean, they're still here. So that gold flash in the water is still in play.
Yes.
These beautiful, you know, blue skies with the sun straight overhead and these light winds, it just lights that gold flash up. I just figure, you know, that's got to be attractive to them still. So, and it is, because it's been working. So,
you know, it's amazing all these colors we've been throwing for 40 years. And, you know, your purples come into play, your golds, you know, pearl, lime truce. I mean, it just.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And then now they're making soft plastic baits that have the two colors in them, tri-colored, you know, double colored, because we've run out of colors. And now we're making up all this other juicy stuff, and it works.
That's such a great point that you just made. I was visiting with a group at the CCA Port O'Connor division the other night. We were talking about lures and trout and different things, and I said to them, this is a great time to be a trout fisherman and give lures a shot. I mean, holy cow, it's so much to choose from and good lures, like so many yeah. good lures. And I think sometimes the hardest trouble we have is deciding which one we're going to throw. And we talked a little bit about it. If anybody's talked to me about lures for long, you know that profile and presentation over color for me every time. I will stand on that hill for as long as it'll be a hill.
Yeah, I think so too. It's hard to catch them when you're not on them, you know.
It's very true. It's very true. I will take whatever old color might be in the box and a whole repertoire of presentations. That'll pay me off. I think it will pay me off longer than one simple color. But my goodness, just choosing. Even myself, when I know what's there and I kind of know what I want and I know what I like and I look at it, oh, there's new colors. I'm just like everybody else. I have boxes full of beautiful lures and I don't know, but they sure enough caught me. That's for sure.
Christmas tree ornaments.
yes. And we laughed the other night talking about lures too. And of course, this is any lure fisherman. You know, we build our boxes to go out and wade, and they're so pretty, and they have all the nice lures and all the things we love. And we get out there, and we all agreed most of the time we're slinging that same lure, the one we have the confidence in. You can't beat. It doesn't matter what color that one is. If you have a lot of confidence in it, it's going to shine.
Yeah, it's throw what you have confidence in. Just throw what you have.
Yes.
Whatever you have the most of, use those up. That with the clear skies and decent water, you know, you guys have to fish in that air clear stuff sometimes down there, and that's kind of difficult. I just like that. Not sandy, but just kind of that off green, you know, what I call trout water, where you can see 2 or 3 feet in it, but it's got density to it. And
yes, and,
pretty much all different color lures work in that, and you can fool them pretty easy in that kind of water.
I agree.
Get closer to them too. You know, it's hard to get up close on those fish in that real gin clear stuff.
No kidding. That's no kidding. You know, we were makes me recall something. We were coming down a real little edge on the first tabletop drop off. So we've been fishing fall and tide, and it's been falling pretty good. And as it comes off that top tabletop area, the fish kind of come down, you know, to the second one there. And just coming down there and like you're talking about presenting those lures and presenting that right down that edge like that right there, man, that was just a solid, and it's paid off, you know, every time, just solid holding them right there. I can only envision when that water just starts coming off that hard sand and grass flat, all those little shrimp and bait fish just come on all those little crevices, and they just sit right there where it runs off and just slurp them up.
The old ledge pattern.
We were coming down that, and we could see a lot of the reds we were casting at, and the water was so clear, we saw about 3 really good trout up there. Nice ones, not huge, you know, maybe in that 22 to 23 range.
Right.
But we did not catch any of those in that. It was just whether the reds got there first and the trout just weren't eating right then, or a combination of the two, I'm not sure. But we did see them up there, you know, right on that first tabletop, laying right in those little wallered out small sand pockets. And of course, as soon as we saw them and they saw us, they were gone.
Yeah,
but the reds were much more tolerant of our presence. They were eating, and it was obvious that they were. And it was just a fun setup. But we did see some nice ones hanging, you know, hanging right there. So that always intrigues me.
Well, that's fishing.
That's fishing.
And that's called developing a pattern. When you get it figured out, you get a pattern on them, then you put the herd on them.
Shoot, and that works great right up until it doesn't, right?
Right. Well, it's always going to change. But, boy, it is nice when you get a whole week stretch where you know, here's
Isn't
what I got
to
do to catch fish. And, man, then one weather change or tide schedule change, and it all changes. You've got to go back
to
square one. Let's figure them out again. But that's what we do it for. That's my favorite part, is figuring them out and finding them.
That's exactly right. The fun part is the puzzle. And
that's it.
And even though we can you know, use some trends and things like that. It is a puzzle every day. I wish I could count the number of times I've gone out thinking, oh, well, you know, this is where they're going to be, this is what we're going to do, and then they just pull one of those moves on us.
First off, slap in the face, and all right, here we go.
I have noticed. That's right. I have noticed this week, very, very obviously so, that I look back and that boat's not near as far back as it had gotten in the summer.
Nice.
Makes it nice, right? So it if really you know, does. You know, on that kind of deal. So I kind of looked back a few times. It caught my attention, and I smiled a little bit. It's that time of year where a lot of the time you don't have to walk so far. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I run down a shoreline, and I look in, and I see a guy. He's like a mile from his boat, him and his crew.
I know.
Well, they're not catching them.
Amen. I always
they're
think
all
to myself.
Spread out, man, and a mile from the boat. I said, they're not getting them.
And you know they're tired. I always, when I see that, in all the years that that's happened to me, one time a man offered me a ride back, and it was the best possible day it could have come. We were a long way from the boat. But when I see waiters like that, I always want to swoop in and say, hey, you want a ride? But my luck, they would have just walked into their bite, and that's not a good way to make friends on the flats here. So,
wait,
I don't. But if you ever see me on the water and you need a ride, just wave. I'll swing
in. That's what we do up here. See your buddy come by and you need a ride back the boat, wave your hat at him.
Just wave your hat, and I'll swoop in and grab you.
All right, Kim. Well, hey, it's always good talking to you. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them some info how they can reach you.
That would be great. My website is PortO'ConnorFishingTrip.com and has all the information you need right there.
Very good. All right. Appreciate the report. And you have a good Sunday. I'll talk to you next week. Be safe.
Sounds great. Same to you. Thank you you and your listeners for giving me a little time this morning. And good luck to everybody this week. There's going to be some good fish caught.
Catch them up.
All right.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. That way your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other big events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas. Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:20 here in the Bayou City on a Sunday morning. Let's run down Freeport Way now and check in with Captain Jeff Naylor, see what he's up to. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on, bud?
What's going on, Captain Mickey? How you doing this morning?
It couldn't be better. It's all good. How about
That's
you?
What I'm talking about. Yeah, man, I got to fall right in line with that because that's right up my yeah. I'm better than ever. Beautiful Sunday. Looking out here on the back porch and the smokestacks are going straight up from the refineries there.
It's calm.
The wind's complete slack. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit calm this morning, which is a little bit odd too. It's supposed to blow a little harder, I think, last night, according to the forecast.
That's what they've been saying all week. You know, puffy winds and all that. It doesn't really come up till the afternoons right now, which is good for the fishermen.
It definitely is. You know, it just it gives. We considered going out the offshore today and kind of got a little weary of it. You know, the other time of season two, it says it's calm, you know, low wind. You get out there and it's rocking 25 and, you know, you never really can tell. So, you know, if there's a maybe, we generally don't go. But, you know, and then, of course, all the season, everything are over with. This weekend will be the last weekend. Or, no, excuse me, Yes, it is this weekend. It'll be the last weekend of Red Snapper recreational season, which they finally closed. You know, and that was a bit of a debacle, if you ask me. But
it's closed.
That's right. Exactly. You know, in case in point, right to your point, you know, it says that you have to look at that app for the closures and all. And I don't think that app updated. I never got the full story. I tried to find out this week about kind of what happened, why it lasted so long, why there wasn't a lot of communication and stuff. I couldn't really get an answer. My gut feeling is it's a lot to do with the government shutdown, you know, even though the states now get to decide what dates, you know, open and close and what their populations are. Population density or whatnot, they still have to write the closures dates in law, you know, in the federal system. So the feds have to still write in law that it closes on a particular day. So, you know, the state can decide all they want, but the feds ultimately have to make the final decisions in the final, you know, write into law to make it official. So, anyways, this weekend's the last weekend. You know, I talked to Surfside Marina there a little bit this week and in Freeport Marina, and they said, you know, overall, though, in the last month, very few people have actually gone fishing at all, even when we had a couple of windows there. You know, it's hunting season, you know, and I think for the most part, I think people didn't know either, so they kind of stayed at home. You know, they really didn't want to try to chance it.
They may have wanted it like that, you know.
Yeah I mean, to your point, yeah, that's right. You know, I don't think there was last year we got an extension on the snapper season, the for hire sector did, and I think it was partially because last year we didn't get to fish very much in June. The weather was just terrible, and that was Gulf across the whole Gulf. It was like that. So I think they gave us a few days back essentially. But in the past, previous to last year, that never has it happened. You know, basically they give you so many days, and that's what they allot to be the,
you know, hey,
yeah,
the old luck of the Irish. You either get good weather or not. It's all on you.
That's right. So in some ways, I feel like this little extended season we had this year is probably going to hurt us for the next couple of years to come, which, you know, I guess time will tell. But Well, you know, hopefully it's not the case, but any of the feds are listening.
When the government controls something, you just say, you're at the mercy of them.
That's right. That's right. And, yeah, so, I mean, let's hope that it doesn't, but it certainly appears that it may, or it could. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the snapper season, though, this weekend we had the toy drive, the Surfside Toy Drive. They just stay in Freeport, so they hit several places on the intercoastal, and they come up the old Brad's right next to my house and drop off presents or pick them up. And they had that yesterday. Casey was in it. He was going to come do the show with me this morning, but he got sick last night at some point, so decided to bail on me, which is what it is.
That old early outdoor show flu.
I'm telling you. Oh, man, and it is early. I give him that for sure. But
when I first started doing this, I go, man, I don't even get up this early to go duck hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, you ain't kidding. It's about 1 hour earlier than, you know, I'd get up for anything else. You know, it just about the time, you know, I'm getting ready to loading all my gear up to go pick my customers up. I'm like, you know, calling, talking to you guys. And yeah, but, hey man, I can't complain though. I've one of the greatest things I've done in my life is do this show. So
I'm
super excited. It is, it took a while to kind of figure it out, but
man, when, you know, Bob Sr. and Bob Jr., Pappy and Bob had this show way back. I mean, they used to hit me at 4 o'clock every morning, kaboom. And, man, if I'd been on a long run, you know, 15, 20 days straight fishing, I would just, I wouldn't even be up yet. I'd just roll over and pick up the phone on the nightstand. That was before all the cellular stuff. We had hard lines and laying in bed, giving a fishing report. My wife.
That's right.
She goes, fishermen are got to be the sickest people I've ever met in my life. She's still with me 50 years later. It's still going.
Oh, man. Well, that's good. There must have been a whole lot more positive than there was negative in it.
Always. Fishing was so good back then. I mean, you're trying to give a negative report. No, we didn't get them today, Bob. That was hard to do.
Yep. I understand that for sure. But the, Elliot Cundiff, Casey's father, you know, Captain Elliot here, he told me, he used to do this show, but they asked a bunch of questions, you know, back in the day. They kind of called him right before all the customers and everything got on the boat, and they asked him a bunch of questions. And, you know, it seemed like a little bit different format, you know, at least at that when he was doing the phones.
Yeah.
But, I didn't get the chance to listen to
some. I don't have to pry anything out of you guys. You give it to me. I got a good crew, man. We're talking fishing.
Yeah. You know, and
I'm not going to interrogate anybody and nail them down, you know, to what rock did you catch that fish under?
Right.
What shoreline were you on? I mean, it's more about patterns and, you know, people with fish savvy, they can figure it out on their own. If they can just, you know, if all the trout are being caught in anywhere from 2 to 4 feet of water, they pretty much they've got that down. And what baits everybody's throwing, catching them on, and like that. I would never have a guide pinpoint exactly where he's fishing.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
It's you know, he's got to make his living too. But there's plenty of fish to go around, and everybody can figure it out for themselves. Pretty much.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, what we do, especially, you know, in the types of offshore fishing that we do, you know, there's very few people that actually can get out there and you know, just the risk in our style of fishing is pretty low, you know, and there's lots of fish out there. I ain't worried about, you know, if I don't find them at spot A, I'll find them at B, C, D, E, and F, you know, it's not a...
Run your tracks till you get them, man.
Yeah, exactly. People tell me all the time, they're like, man, you know, that boat doesn't go 70 miles. I said, bud, I ain't got to go about more than 30. When you know where the fish are, I make one stop. I ain't got to make 12. So, you know, just sit tight. We'll be all right. But, you know, speaking of, you know, that's what my topic I was going to talk about this morning was boats and pricing and some of the new boats. I know the boat shows are coming up. You know, that'll start before we know it. And people, you know, be trying to buy boats from last year. And, man, you know, the pricing generally overall on boats seem to be coming down. And then they kind of stalled for a little bit. You know, there's been a few boats on the offshore side that have moved at prices I didn't really I thought were high, you know, even for now. You know, there's a lot of really great boats out there. Freeman's, of course, and, you know, as far as offshore boats go, Contenders and Yellowfins and all that kind of stuff. And you know, there's been a lot of manufacturer changes. You know, Yellowfin changed from Wiley, you know, and went down to Mexico to War Eagle, I think, is the company name now. You know, Invincible Boats did close to the same thing, and so there's been some odd changes like that, you know, which has you know, arguably changed the way that those particular models are built and how the customer service goes and stuff like that. But Casey, I asked Casey the other day about his Contender. He got a 2022 39 Contender, and he's had a lot. He was actually at one point he was on Wiley's guide list, so he, you know, bought a few Yellowfins that were at a discounted price or whatnot, and he still thinks that this 39 Contender rides better than any of the other Yellowfins that he had for the fuel economy and all that kind of stuff. And so I think top pick for overall value and length and everything is that 39 Contender for 2025.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
You know, it seems to be a very good pick. There's a lot of, and the reason why I bring up this subject is I've had a few phone calls this week about people asking me these very questions. You know, what is a, you know, some people that came across some money and, you know, looking to maybe trade up or trying to find a better value, or, you know, got a different fishing mentality now. They want to go bigger or go smaller, you know. A lot of people jump on the Freeman bandwagon, and, you know, it's catamarans. I try to tell everybody, catamarans are it can be your best friend, but there is also some drawbacks to them too, you know. For instance, I just heard a story the other day. There was a couple of our friends that went out to Magnolia fishing, and the floating rig Magnolia, which is a long ways, they got caught in in one of the fronts that came through, and waves were coming over the bow like crazy, almost sank the boat, you know. And those cats are built, you know, to be more centralized in terms of the pivot point in the boat, you know. So they will tend, if you try to slowly go over waves, I mean, they have a tendency to want to dip that nose down.
Yeah, I heard that.
Take waves like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, you got to be able to bail that water out fast enough, you know, or you kind of get stuck. And so there's some drawbacks to it. They also have, cats have this walk to them, man. It's like they call it the catwalk. I mean, it could be dead flat calm, and you're driving a straight pattern, you know, and it just sit there and walks left and right. And it's so sponson, they just kind of catch a little bit, and they just kind of, you know, snake. And that drives me insane. But
I'm a deep V man myself. Always have been.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of value to that too, you know.
Only and a dead rise in the back where it'll just sit down on its butt and won't knock everybody's teeth out when it hits.
You know,
let me knock this commercial break out. I'll be right back at you, Jeff. Hang on a second, buddy.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 439. All right, Jeff, we are back, my friend.
Back in action.
You betcha.
So we were talking about boats to look into for 2026, or if you're in the market right now, you know. So Contender probably be the most economical pick that I found, you know, in 2025, and V-hole bottom. And, you know, it's kind of hard to beat a Freeman in the cap market. But, you know, some notable mentions, though, some very cool things. Technology is coming out. There's a boat called Insetta. And I've kind of been watching these guys for a long time. Basically, they put a hydrofoil in, but it's a cap boat. They put a hydrofoil in between the two sponsons, and it actually lifts the boat up a little bit, you know, and it supposedly makes the boat react a lot differently. And I've been watching these guys probably since about 2016. Go at it, and they've got a really good design right now. And and of course, back then, you know, the boat was about 250,000 new, and now it's probably closer to six. So, yeah, I mean, you don't win on money wise, but it is very cool technology, and so in theory, works very well. So, you know, if anybody's taking off to the Flibs or, you know, any of those boat shows in January or whatnot, you know, think about going and taking a look at that boat. That's a very, very neat technology. And I think if it pans out to be, you know, what it's designed to do, I think that and of course everybody knows hydrofoil, you know, essentially it works like an airplane wing. It makes the boat rise, you know, lifts the boat up. You know, if that turns out to be a durable technology, I think that that's one that will stick around for a while. I think that would be the next direction a lot of these boats are going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, the last real big improvement to an offshore boat was the step hole, you know, outside of the kind of layout and, you know, the bells and whistles stuff. But as far as design wise, the step hole was probably, you know, in the history of offshore boats, that was a huge thing. That was humongous.
Yeah.
And so if you do end up going to a V-hole, I would highly suggest you do give that a shot. You know, Yellowfin got very famous because they started that, and they actually built the hull, very, very thick hull. Their boats on average length are a little bit heavier than most other boats in the same market, and that's because of how thick Wiley made some of those hulls. They're very durable. But you also look on their steps, and their steps are not nearly as big as some of the others, you know, CV or fountain for that matter. They're a little bit smaller. And so the step hole, it kind of works against you. It works with you and then against you. So the step hole, and when you're going fast, it helps tremendously. It breaks the surface friction on the bottom of the boat, allowing the motors not to work so hard. But the only catch is it likes to go fast. It wants to go fast. If it doesn't go fast and there's no air underneath it, then it kind of works against you. You know, you're just kind of plowing through stuff.
Yep.
But anyways, yeah, so if you do V-hole bottom,
I've been looking,
you know.
I hadn't found the perfect boat yet.
No.
There's just no such thing as a perfect boat for all conditions.
That's true. It's absolutely true. You know, and I tell you one, a very notable mention, too, is the Transport or Transcat, the X3. So and then there's another one that Transport built that was it was like a 32-foot boat, and it's kind of the tri-hole style. They brought it for the X3 in a bay boat style, which is supposed to be kind of like a hybrid. I mean, what I've I've heard. And they built like a half offshore boat, you know, that would kind of be somewhere in between. It was supposed to be a really good boat. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, everything's to a preference, you know. And that's the one drawback about, you know, an offshore fishing style is that, you know, you tend to – you start out snapper fishing, let's say, and you decide, man, I just want to do that better. And then you find out very quickly that, man, I want to go do, you know, yellowfin tuna fishing. I want to do some overnighters, 120 miles at the floaters or whatever, you know. And like, oh, man, you know, I need a little more fuel capacity for that. Or, you know, I need bigger motors or more motors or something. And I mean, to your point, you know, you're back to square one. And, you know, my suggestion to all people normally is to go take some guy, you know, go hire one of us. Drag you out there, you know, several times. Get your feeling, what you like to do, what you want to do, what your goals are in the next 10 years, and then make a, you know, an informed decision on what kind of boat you want. You may not need all the crazy stuff. You may, you know, my, you know, $100,000 used boat might be perfect, you know, right, versus a brand new one or something. But, you know, I mean, heck, shoot, for the price of the bay boat you get nowadays, I mean, you know, you could buy 30 something foot offshore boat, or you can buy 25 foot bay boat. I mean, it's crazy what the prices are still going for on some of these boats.
You know, that
man,
all went nuts during COVID, you know, the COVID thing. Man, the price of the boats just have just shot up to pretty much ridiculous in a lot of cases.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever felt in your whole entire career that you're like, man, I just wish I'm driving 100 right now, 100 miles per hour. I gotta go. I feel like I should be going 100 miles an hour right now. Never.
I never one time. I remember when 60 was real fast and 70 was just, oh, man, that's getting it. But,
right.
No, hitting 100, no hundos for me, especially my
Boy, I tell you, that's one you don't. That one would be hard to survive just in the water. You know, God forbid you hit a reef or something, and it's just, you know, as everybody knows, you know, 100 miles an hour, that boat gets so squirrely. One little bitty, you know, nick, jump, bad wave, you know,
one
porpoise jumping,
one big air pocket underneath it, you're done.
Done. That's, I mean, done.
I'll leave that up to the boat racers.
Yeah,
I never found any fish at 100 anyway. We never been.
Yeah, exactly.
Go 100 in a boat. I'm just
don't need it.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you on that, man. And a lot of my tournament buddies, you know, they all want to go 100. I don't get it, I guess, but you know, I ask them, man, you know, why?
Well, all that started with these tournaments, you know, especially when there was no boundaries. And they were opened up, and man, I've seen some just mega runs just to go catch two fish. I mean, you better have them located when you get there, because all you got is time to pull in and catch your two and refuel on the way back, make it back to weigh-in time. It's crazy.
Yeah, No kidding. That is crazy. That is crazy. You know, and I feel like the industry eventually catches and finds, you know, understands that. One thing about offshore tournaments, especially in the Marlin tournaments right now, is the technology of the sonar. You know, and it's a very expensive tool. You know, it's a sonar that spins 360 degrees. You know, and so there's a big push nowadays to try to separate those categories. You know, non-sonar boats to sonar boats, because it is a clear advantage, 100%. You know, if you can, you know, and so. It basically brings back money into the picture, where, you know, if you got, I guess, you know, having money's always kind of been a little bit of an advantage, but you try not to make it all the advantage. You know, you don't want all the rich guy to have 100% of the, you know what I mean, probability. You want to at least even the playing field a little bit. So there's a big push for that. The unfortunate part on the tournament side, or excuse me, offshore tournament side, is that you know, the turnouts have just been going downhill. So they're very afraid to kind of split those categories, and then you only got 3 boats in this category and 15 in that one, or 25 in this one and 5 in that one, you know. And they're not wrong, you know. It does make it tougher to get a good turnout. But you know, when they start coming back, when I feel like if the fuel prices stay about where they're at in you know, 2026, I think we hopefully see an uptick in the participation, which would be huge. But anyways, a boat that goes 100 miles an hour versus a boat that goes 40 or 50, you know, max, that's a clear advantage. It is. If I can drive to, you know, New Orleans from Galveston to go catch 2 redfish and back in the same day, that's, you know, that's getting it. That's a game changer.
That's working it over right there, bud. It really is.
And I've heard of them doing it. Maybe not that far, but, you know, going state to state, you know.
Big runs, you know, just from Freeport all the way down to Corpus. No Jeez. Problem.
Wow, I can tell you from a
have gas card, we'll travel, baby. We'll just pull into marker 37, fuel back up, head back home, man.
Boy, that's a haul there. You know, but I guess where I was getting at with that, the offshore kind of categorizing, I feel like, you know, eventually the inshore is probably going to, I feel like they go the same way. I mean, you just can't, it's a clear advantage if you have a boat that goes, that you can drive to Corpus and back in one day, you know. And I'm very surprised that I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about doing
tournament. I had boundaries. If we went to Corpus, that's where we fished at. And
right.
We fished Galveston, we stayed here. And it leveled the playing field a lot more. I know guys that have won three redfish tournaments in a row, and they were all at different ports, but they fished the same spot every time. Same school of fish. It just... it is a game changer when you don't have boundaries and you can continue to go back to the school you've been on all year, catching those tournament winners. So it makes a difference. How'd your duck hunt go last week when I talked to you and Leaf and y'all were going to go out? How'd your dog do?
It went great. The dog did great when he saw the bird fall. When he couldn't see the bird fall, you know, and I put him on it, he didn't pick it up. But, you know, when I was sitting on the bank and he saw it fall, boom, he's out there, picked it up, brought it right back, healed perfectly. Yeah. So we're working on that. Overall, that hunt went amazing. Lots of pintail. We had, I think it was 6 different species. You had pintail, redhead, bluebill, teal, you name it, and got to see a lot too. Flocks of redheads, and there's a lot of action. You know, he has Leaf and them, they fish a flounder boat down there, you know, one of the bigger ones, 25, 26 foot, like 10 foot beam. Right. And awesome boat. But man, you truck through any West Bay or something when a front comes humming through, it's 5 foot rolling white back, a little white knuckle on the way home. But you know, overall, it was an amazing hunt. He's got a lot of birds, and they do really good down there. Leaf has been going down there as long as I've known him. I've known him probably close to 20 years now.
Y'all were hunting at the Rockport area?
Yes, sir. The Rockport. Yep. And what bay, I couldn't tell you. I wasn't even paying that much attention. He has four or five blinds popped up for this season. And, you know, he's got them dialed in. If he knows the wind's going to be from a certain direction or how cold it's going to get, he goes to one and the other. They got it all figured out.
Right.
And then really that Monday, I couldn't hunt Monday. I could only hunt Sunday. So we hunted Sunday. We got plenty of pintail, which was something new, some gagwall. I think we got at least one drake gagwall. So the bigger ducks are in, you know, and of course redhead's pretty common down there. So we got several of those and, you know, that kind of stuff. But he sent me some pictures, him, his Cole, his wife, and Leaf and his wife went Monday, and they sent me a picture back with just nothing but pintails, beautiful sprigs. I mean, just their molt is perfect right now. They're just beautiful, beautiful birds. It was great. It was an amazing hunt. Great, great hunt. And like I said, I haven't been getting great reports. I mean, it's about 50-50. Some people tell me that
it's
stellar.
Funny. I mean, yeah, and I know guys that hunt the same blind every day in the marsh, and they'll just they'll be through in 30, 40 minutes one day, and then they got to grind till 10 o'clock to get their birds the next day. You know,
And,
you know, we're in this weird weather pattern. It's calm every morning. That's pretty much a kiss of death. You know, dead
straight, yeah.
But you know, if you know what you're doing, you can get those birds in and shoot enough to get everybody's limits, and that's duck hunting, just like fishing, man. Same thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, it like I said, with that report though, you know, 50-50, we did really, really well. We did We got all of our birds that we needed, and that was amazing. You know, they've had a Leaf and them have had a barge down there for years. They had a family type place, and I don't think they ever actually left a customer down there, but you know, Leaf grew up going to Rockport, you know,
right,
his whole life, you know, and of course pass that on to their son. So they got it all dialed in, and I'll be going down there maybe next weekend. We have a pheasant hunt in Blessing. And then I have possibly the next weekend, we might actually end up going back down there. So If the weather doesn't kind of turn here, we'll see. I think, you know, I was looking at the report right before I got on with you, and the weather looks decent next Saturday for offshore. We are literally one fish away from winning our tournament. So we have got to press to try to get this blue marlin in.
Yeah. You got to get to work, dude.
yeah, no kidding, man. One more, and they're still around. Last weekend there was like six caught. You know, it's still they're still here. So we need to get out there and try to get a few more, but at least one more. So,
all right. Well, Naylor, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to reach out to you.
Yep, give me a call anytime at 979-417-1013. You can go to our website stsladventures.com.
All right, Jeff. Well, have a good week. Good talking to you, man.
All right, brother. We'll see you next Sunday.
Later. You got it. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.